Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
It's yours, Lord. Is there anybody else that has that kind of a feeling, has that kind of an attitude? Lord, I am yours. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for accepting us as who we are. Frail and fragile, but you accept us and we give ourselves over to you. It's yours, Lord. Hallelujah. Blessing to be in the presence of God once again here on Sunday at Uplift. I shared with the staff this morning that this is actually, I believe, our 10th week. And so that's pretty cool. Can we give it up for our Uplift being in existence for 10 weeks? Amen, 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 amen. So I'm really excited about that. So we're thankful for all that God is doing in the ministry of Uplift. Amen. I do not want to be before us long. We are in our series. This is a short series called The People Factor, and so we're in the final part of the People Factor series, and I'm looking forward to what God has to say. If you have your Bibles, your book of instruction before leaving earth, I invite your attention to Ephesians chapter number 1, beginning with verse number 4. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 1, beginning with verse number 4. Ephesians chapter number 1, beginning with verse number 4. If you are an able body, we ask that you stand to honor the reading of God's word. Amen, amen, amen. Ephesians chapter number 4, if you have your Bible, your book of instruction before leaving earth, that means a hard copy of the Bible with paper in it. If you have an iPhone, an iPad, or a Galaxy flat screen television, we invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter number 1, beginning with verse number 4, and we'll read down through verse number 5. I'm reading from the New International Version. Here's what it says. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. I want to read verse number 5 once again. It says, he predestined us for adoption. I'll stop right there. He predestined us for adoption. Will you help me introduce the sermon by looking at your neighbor and say, neighbor? Neighbor. No, see, y'all didn't really do it. I want y'all to get this one. Look at your neighbor. Smile at him. Smile at him. Neighbor? Neighbor. That was a little better.
Today's sermon is
an adoption story. Look at another neighbor. Look at another neighbor. The one you looked at didn't have coffee yet. Look at another one. Smile at him and say, neighbor?
Neighbor.
Today's sermon is an adoption story. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Will you pray with me? Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily. That these your people would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now, I'll wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me, Spirit Divine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And adoption story. As I shared, we are in our series, The People Factor. In the last couple of weeks, we talked about some of our associations with people. We shared that there are no such things as a neutral relationship. Anyone that we are connected to in some sort of a way is either going to help us or they're going to hurt us. We share that people are like elevators. They're going to either bring us up or bring us down. Now, sometimes we can choose the people. By that, those we associate with. But then there are other chances where God didn't really give us a choice of the people because we just got there last night. Uncle Buck, he's just going to be who he is. And we didn't get to choose them. Some people are going to bring us up, and they're going to bring us down. And there are some people in your family, when they call, you see the call, and you know they want something. I don't care if it's money or ketchup, they want something. It's simply the people factor. And we are now fully into the holiday season. I say the holiday season simply because Christmas has pretty much taken over Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving get about a half a day, and then everything else is Christmas. And so now I just say the holiday season. When you go to the store, you don't see anything for Thanksgiving. It went Halloween, Christmas. And so that's where we are in the holiday season now. But because we are preparing for Thanksgiving this coming week, we want to look a little bit about being thankful. So I'll share from there. You know, Thanksgiving is a time when families, they get together, sit around a table, and we place a nice turkey in the center of the table, and we enjoy a family meal together, and we are thankful for time together. You know, that's the famous image of the Norman Rockwell painting. Put that on the screen real quick. You know, that's Thanksgiving. 900-pound turkey in the middle of the table. That's Thanksgiving. Everybody is happy. Everybody their own time. Everybody sitting around, and that's how y'all's Thanksgiving go, right? That's how you grew up. That's how Thanksgiving is supposed to look. It's supposed to be perfect. But in reality, we know that Thanksgiving is not really like that. In real life, Lisa cooked the greens, and everybody knows Lisa can't cook. In real life, David and his family are going to be late because they are late every single year. Mike and Danielle, they're going to get into an argument about something. This is Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving looks a little bit like this. That's real life Thanksgiving. And sometimes you may sit around the table and you silently say to yourself, God, why did you place me amongst these people? And you think you're the only sane one at the table. And sometimes, particularly when we were younger, you allow your mind to drift off and think, what if I were a part of another family? God, I know some kind of way something got mixed up. I wasn't supposed to be here. This is family. There are times when some of us allow our minds to drift and we think, God, what would it be like if as a child I were adopted by Bill and Melinda Gates? I know y'all thinking, they can take me as an adult. I'm cool with that. I'll go right now. They can adopt me. What if as a child you were picked up by the Rockefeller or Carnegie family? What would your Thanksgiving be like? How would our privileges be different? How would your last name open doors and opportunities for you? What would be different if you were picked up by a wealthy, well-to-do, influential family? The text shares with us that you and I have been adopted, but in a way that goes far beyond the people that's around a Thanksgiving table. We've been adopted by one more powerful than Bill or Melinda Gates, more influential than the Rockefellers or Carnegie. We have been adopted by God. And I want to share with us what that adoption means for our lives. In the text, first of all, we see that we are adopted from sin. We are adopted from sin. If you're taking notes, it's our first point. We are adopted from sin. In preparing this sermon, I came across the story of Fiona. Fiona is a dog. Fiona is a dog. And some friends got word that a dog needed help. They went looking for this dog, and they couldn't find her. They looked everywhere and they could not find it. It was a rundown neighborhood. They cut a fence open trying to find the dog and could not find the dog. Before they left, they passed a trash pile. And when they walked past, something moved. They went in by the trash and they found Fiona, a dog huddled amongst trash. They got closer to her, put their hand out, and Fiona didn't move. And they realized that this dog, who was surrounded by trash and looked dirty and nasty, was also blind in both eyes. They cared about the dog. They picked the dog up, took the dog home, and when they took the dog home, they saw that the dog had more fleas than they could even imagine. They cleaned the dog up. Then they took the dog to a vet, and they paid to have surgery done on the dog. And so now the dog can see. Now the dog looks better, all because family was willing to adopt the dog from a trash pile. In the text, Paul shares that with us, the Bible says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be blameless in his sight. I want to do a little bit of teaching to help us understand what's going on here. Y'all work with me. We'll get to a shout in a little bit. The Bible shares this. For one, there are three types of elections. There are three types of election. Number one, there is a theocratic election. Theocratic election. That's when God says to Israel, you are going to be my people. That's a theocratic election. It has nothing to do with salvation. It's just a theocratic election. Then there is what's called a vocational election. In the Bible, God says to the tribe of Levi, you're going to be called out as priests. That's a vocational election. And then there's what's considered the salvational election. Jesus says, no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. In other words, God draws us from where we are to salvation. It's God that does the drawing and not us. It's a salvational election. And this is what we see in the text. The Bible says that before the foundation of the world, he had in his mind that he was going to adopt us. And for many of us, God found us at our worst state. Many of us were just like the dog, Fiona. We were surrounded by trash and filth. And we looked and acted just like what we were surrounded by. Others looked at us and saw no value in us. Then again, we had our own internal issues where we didn't even see value in ourselves. What would someone want with me? Lying me. Messed up me. Broken me. Cursing me. Cheating me. Why would God want smoke in me? Alcoholic hungover me. What could God see in me? God found us covered in sin and we were blind to how our lives were, but he cared enough about us to pick us up and to clean us up and to fix us up and to adopt us even in the midst of our sin. But there's even more. The Bible says that he chose us. This word chose in the Greek, which is what the New Testament was written in, this word chose in the Greek is in the aorist tense and his middle voice. Okay, I know y'all saying, Pastor, that's all Greek to me. I don't really get that. But here's what it means. God adopted us by himself and for himself. In other words, it was God that chose to pick us up out of the trash and to clean us up, not because of us, but because he did it for his own glory. God did it so he can look at us in the end and say, I knew I could do that with him. I wonder if there's anybody here today that can remember what God found them at. You can remember how things used to be and how messed up you used to be and how broken you used to be. Is there anybody that can remember how God found you? Is there anybody that can remember how he cleaned you up and how he fixed you up? Is there anybody that can remember how God pulled you from the muck and the mire of your life to make something out of you? Tell your neighbor, I don't look like what I've been through. I don't look like what I've been through. Marvin Sapp put it this way. He saw the best in me when everybody else around me could only see the worst in me. Old songwriter in my grandmother's church put it this way. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more, but the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Now safe am I. It was God who chose to adopt us from sin, and he chose to do it before he ever said, let there be light. I'm so thankful that God adopted me from sin. Aren't you glad that he adopted you from some stuff? But the question begs to be asked and answered. What would cause God to adopt us? Text says that he adopted us in love, which leads us to our second point. We are adopted from sin and we are adopted in love. At the time when Paul was writing, he could have chose four different words referring to love. He could have picked eros, which is the kind of romantic love, you know, it's the love you have for bae, for your boo, that's that kind of love. He could have picked storge love, which is the love of family or of friendship. It's the kind of love that a mother has for her child. Mother says, my child is the most prettiest child in the whole world. Everybody else sees the child, but don't really see what the mother sees in the child. Some of us have mothers like that. They saw more in us than other people could see in us. That's the storge kind of love. He could have chose that. He could have picked filial, which is the warm feeling kind of love. That's the love you had in ninth grade when you was really in love. You loved him and she loved you. Or you were in love because y'all kind of connected and your family told you, child, you don't know nothing about no love. Now we really are in love. That's a feeling kind of love. He could have chose that one, but he didn't choose any of those. He could have used various words for love, but he chose to use the word agape. Agape is a kind of love that's an unconditional kind of love. Agape is a kind of love that looks at us, sees our faults, our mess up, and our hang-ups, and said, I'm going to love them anyway. It's the kind of love that sacrifices and wants nothing in return. God adopted us from sin, and he adopted us in love, agape love. God looked beyond our issues, and he loved us enough to adopt us. Here's how much he loved us. The Bible says, greater love has no man than this, that he be willing to lay down his life for his friend. And that's exactly what God was willing to do for you and for I. In life, we are surrounded by people who love us for who they think we are. But God loves us for who we really are. God loves us when we are ungrateful. God loves us when we are mean-spirited. God loves us when we are bitter. God loves us when we don't even pray to him. God loves us when we won't call on his name until we want something. God loves us when we don't read the Bible and don't go to church. God loves us with an agape kind of love that looks past us and sees more in us. There's a movie called The Beautiful Mind. The Beautiful Mind tells the story of a man by the name of John Nash. John Nash was a brilliant mathematician whose career and life was crippled by schizophrenia. John Nash, he taught at MIT and he went on to win the Nobel Prize for his theory of the dynamics of human conflict. He was a smart man, a brilliant man, and at the height of his career, after a decade of remarkable mathematical accomplishments, Nash suffered a breakdown. 30 years of teaching at MIT interrupted when in a lecture he announced that he was on the cover of Life magazine disguised as the Pope. He claimed that foreign governments were communicating with him through the New York Times. He turned down a prestigious position at the University of Chicago because he said that he was going to become the Emperor of Antarctica. Sick. His wife, Alicia, had him committed to an institution, a private mental hospital. When money ran dry, she had to put him in an understaffed and underfunded institution. In one scene of The Beautiful Mind, one of his colleagues says to his wife, Alicia, so Alicia, how are you holding up? Her response was kind of feeble. She said, well, the delusions have passed. They're saying it'll pass more with medication. The colleague said, no, I was saying, how are you holding up. She paused for a moment. She explained, I think often what I feel is obligation or guilt over wanting to leave. Rage against John and against God. But then I look at him and I force myself to see the man that I married. And he becomes that man. He's transformed into something that I love, and I'm transformed into someone that loves him. It's not all the time, but it's enough. Brothers and sisters, that's what God does for us. God looks at us in our mess ups. God looks at us with our faults and our failures. God looks at us when we fall short of his will. And God looks past that and God says, I see the mess ups, but I see also the man that I created. I see the shortcomings, but I see the woman that I created them to be. God looks past our issues and he loves us beyond what we are. And because of that, he adopted us in love. Then the question can be asked, okay, he adopted us from sin. He adopted us in love, but what did he adopt us to? This is the part that I absolutely love. He adopted us into his family. The text says that he predestined us for adoption into his family as sons and daughters. The Bible teaches us that we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's a lovely thing to me. Some of y'all may be happy about being in Bill Gates' family. That's cool. Y'all can have all of that. If you are a Carnegie, that would be cool if they adopted you. You can have all of that. If you were part of the Rockefellers, that's cool. You can. If Oprah Winfrey picked you up and adopted, you can have all of that. I would rather be adopted by God.
Yes, sir.
God who sits high and looks low. I'm almost out of your way. Sermon ain't even long today. Check this out. There's a story of this little boy walking in the community. He sees a friend that he goes to school with. His friend says, hey, man, come by my house. Goes by his friend's house. He looks at this house. Huge house. Friend begins to brag. Friend said, you see this big old house? The boy said, yeah. Friend said, that's my dad's house. I said, wow, it's a big old house. Then he took him out back. He said, you see that yacht out back? The boy said, yeah. That's my daddy's yacht. Wow, that's a huge yacht. Then the boy said, look up in the sky. You see planes flying across. Sometimes that's my dad. He flies on his private plane. The boy thought, wow, that's amazing. Your dad has a big old house. Your dad has a yacht. Your dad has a private plane. And the little boy said, does your dad have all of that? Put his head down and thought for a moment. Then he looked up and said, well, not exactly. Let me describe to you a little bit about my dad. The boy said, you see the big old house that your dad has? He said, yeah, I just showed you that. He said, now you see all that land that your dad built that house on? The boy said, that's my dad's land. He said, you see the yacht that your dad has out there in the water? The boy said, yeah, it's a nice yacht. You see the water? That's my dad's water. Every time you look up in the sky and you see your dad flying across and you think it's amazing because your dad has a great plane, I want you to think about the expansion of the sky. And I want you to always remember that's my dad's sky. As a matter of fact, if you take a deep breath, I want you to realize that you're taking a breath because my dad gives you that breath. Brothers and sisters, all of us have been adopted into God's family. And every time we sit around the table with others, I want us to remember that God was the one that adopted us from some stuff. God is the one that adopted us in love in spite of us. And it's God that adopted us into his family, giving us the privilege to call upon his name. That's my dad's sky. The water, that's my dad's water. The land that we walk on, that's my dad's land. Because I'm adopted into God's family. Let's pray. Father, we come before you now, and we thank you for adopting us. We thank you, Lord God, for taking us from the muck and the mire of our lives. We thank you, Lord God, that for many of us, you literally had to pick us up off the trash pile to clean us up because you saw more in us than we could even see in ourselves. Thank you for adopting us. Lord God, maybe there's somebody here right now and they're still sitting on this trash pile wondering if there's any value in them, wondering if anybody even cares about them. God, I pray right now that you would touch your mind, that you would touch your heart, letting them know that you're willing to adopt them, that you're looking for more sons and more daughters to invite into your family. Lord God, we pray right now that you would strengthen somebody's heart to make a life-changing decision. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we stand all over the sanctuary, brothers and sisters, there's a story of a wealthy collector. This man collected all kinds of paintings. He had all kinds of artwork, and they were all historic and worth a lot of money. So people would come to his house just to see his paintings. They'd walk around, and they would be marveled. Oh, that's a Rembrandt. Amazing. Oh, you have that? And they would just look, and they would be amazed. But every time he would take them into his office, he would show them a painting that was hanging behind his desk. It was a portrait. They said, well, who is that? That's my son. That's my son. I love my son. He's off fighting in the war right now, but that's my son. Well, who painted it? Oh, well, you know, just one of his friends painted it, but I love that one. That's the most important painting in my house. But, I mean, you got all of these very expensive paintings. I know, but that's my son, and I love my son. And so that's the most important painting in my house. One day, this man got a knock on his door. Come to find out, his son had been killed in war. Went in his office, and he looked at his son's painting, and he cried because he loved his son. People kept coming by his house wanting to see all the paintings. He would always take them into his office and to show them the portrait from an unnamed artist. This is my son. I love my son. The man died. As he died, all of his paintings went up for auction. Everybody had stakes. I want this painting. I want that painting. I want this painting. I want that painting. They all had prices in mind of how much they were willing to pay for the painting. Auction got off to a start, and the first painting they pulled out was the man's son. There any bids, and no one bid for his son. They took it on off stage, and they pulled out the more important painting. And everybody started bidding it, how much they wanted to pay for it. And the auctioneer came up, and they said, well, no one's going to get anything today. Because the owner had in his will, whoever bids for my son gets everything. Whoever chooses my son gets everything. Brothers and sisters, God has given us the same option. He said, whoever chooses my son gets everything else. If I didn't hold my son back from you, what else would I hold back from you?
Yeah.
My brother, my sister, many of us have been praying, God, I need this. God, I want this. God, I need this. And God is saying, my son is up. Who will pick my son? My brother, my sister, maybe you're here right now and you've never made a decision to pick the son. The son that God loves. The son that God values. The son that God wants you to pick. If you hear my brother, my sister, you've never made a decision to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I want you to know today you can be adopted into the family. Family of God, you can come on in with the rest of us and we can sit around a table and talk about each other in the family because we are all God's children. Maybe you hear my brother, my sister, you've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and today you've heard that I can be adopted in the family. You want to make that decision, my brother, my sister, we invite you to do so. Maybe you are here, you are saying, Pastor, I accepted Christ when I was young. My mom and them told me to walk down the aisle. I did that, but then I messed up. Man, I got distracted by the world, and my whole life was messed up. Can I come back in the family? God has never turned his back on you. My brother, my sister, We invite you to recommit your life to Jesus Christ. Thirdly, maybe you're here and you're saying, I've accepted Christ, and maybe you're looking for a church home. You hear my brother, my sister, maybe you feel God leading you to make uplift your church home. We invite you to do so. You can simply check on your Connect card that you want to make uplift your church home. Or maybe you're here and you want to be baptized. We want to help people grow one step closer in their relationship with God. If you've never been baptized, we invite you, my brother, my sister, to make that decision as well. For those who want to commit their life to Christ, here's what we're going to do. We don't want you to simply walk down an aisle, because sometimes the devil will say people are going to look at you and you will never move. We're going to pray a collective prayer, because we believe your relationship with God is between you and God. And so collectively, we'll pray a prayer so you can simply be real with God. We ask that everyone simply repeat after me. Dear Lord, I admit that I am a sinner. I admit that I have fallen short. I admit that I have messed up. But I accept that you're willing to adopt me. I accept that you sent Jesus to die for me. I accept that you raised him on the third day. And because of that, I am saved. I am saved. I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on and give God a hand clap of praise, because somebody may have made a decision to commit their life to Jesus Christ. Somebody may have made a decision to recommit their life to Jesus Christ. And we thank God for that. Amen, amen, amen. If you made one of those decisions, if you've made a decision to commit your life to Christ, or maybe you're recommitting your life to Christ, maybe you're here and you're saying you feel God leading you to connect with Uplift Church. I said we're only 10 weeks old, but we have so much more ahead of us, and you feel God leading you to be a part of it. We invite you to use your Connect card inside of your worship guide to simply check, I've committed my life to Christ. I've recommitted my life to Christ. I want to join Uplift Church. Or if you want to be baptized, we invite you to check that as well, and we'll be glad to take you to the water. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. And as you're taking your seats, we want to take an opportunity to go before God in prayer. Because we realize that we have difficult weeks. Many of us are really just happy to get to Sunday. And we've made it through our previous week. And now some people have come to church and they're thinking, Monday is coming. I don't know how I'm going to deal with Monday. I wish Sunday could be a little bit longer, because I don't know how I'm going to deal with Monday. You've got some decisions to make. You've got some things that you've been worried about all weekend. You made your way into church and now you're saying, Pastor, I simply need prayer. Or maybe you're here and you want to pray for a friend or for a loved one. You want to pray for a family member as families are coming together. And you know there's some stuff in your family that simply needs to be prayed over. My brother, my sister, as we all make our way to the altar, those who need prayer, we invite you to come. As we join hands with a brother, with a sister, letting them know that God sees you. God knows exactly where you are. God will never leave you nor forsake you. God is here to answer your prayers.
I'm all yours, I'm all yours. I want to be healed by you. I want to be healed by you, Lord. I want to be healed by you. I'm all yours. I want to be used by you. I want to be used by you, Lord. I want to be used by you.